Hi, and welcome to another episode of Terra Nullius Cyprus. I'm Costa Constanti, recording here in Nicosia, Cyprus. Thanks to our sponsor, the Center for Visual Arts and Research, the CVAR Servetus Foundation. Today, we're talking with two guests, which is different to what we normally have. We're talking with two guests, a Greek Cypriot and a Turkish Cypriot friends, from the EU one-stop shop for Green Line Trade. I'm a little bit excited about today's discussion because we haven't dabbled into trade on this podcast recording thus far. And the trade is clearly something very important between the two communities of Cyprus. I want to introduce you to our guests, my guests today, Mariana Haralambos and Çeyla Türk. Thank you for coming. Thank you for agreeing to be on this podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Got to show off the little words I know.
Nice so, seeing you.
Likewise. Now, I know that the EU One-Stop Shop project for Green Line Trade is something that you're both very passionate about and relatively new to you guys, right? You've been doing this for about a year or so now?
About.
Yeah. And the concept, the EU-supported concept has been around for a few years now, correct?
It's not actually, because EU One Stop Shop project actually originated from the introduction of Green Line regulation back then in 2004, right 1 week before the Republic of Cyprus accession into EU. So this project is very much related to it.
So but this is going back to 2004 when
Cyprus acceded. So it's been like 22 years. Mm-hmm. However, even though European Union and Republic of Cyprus, tried to introduce a Green Line trade as the mechanism for crossing of goods, people, services from the areas not under the effective control of government of Republic of Cyprus to the areas
not under the effective control of the Republic of Cyprus. It sounds like the artist formerly known as Prince. I mean, this is how we're starting to refer to our island now. But so, in a nutshell, you know, for the listeners who aren't familiar, I mean, they're obviously this is a learning curve for a lot of people, myself included. What exactly, if you were to summarize this, is Green Line Trade?
Maybe we go a little bit back.
Yeah.
First of all, let me introduce Çeyla. Çeyla is the key expert for the trade, the actual trade. It's the key expert of the trade between the two communities. And I am the team leader of the group there. Çeyla very rightly said that this regulation has been in place since 2004 when we acceded to the EU. If you, I'm very sure that you know that the entire island of Cyprus acceded to the EU in 2004. However, the acquis, which is the regulation, the European regulation, is suspended in the areas where the Republic of Cyprus does not have effective control. The government of the Republic of Cyprus does not have effective control. So if someone were to try to bring a product into the EU, they will need to provide some documentation, okay? And this regulation was created to enable this documentation and these processes and procedures to actually be, and to enable these processes and procedures, right? And that's how it started. As Çeyla said, this regulation has been in place since the accession of the island to the of the country to the EU, but our project, the EU One Stop Shop, has been in effect for 3.5 years now. As a pilot phase project, and
2.5 years. Launched. It was launched on October 2023, so it's like 2.5 years. at the moment. As you rightly explained, Mariana, I also would like to add a context for Green Line regulation, because we know that Green Line regulation is introduced by European Commission in line with the reunification efforts carried out prior to accession of Republic of Cyprus, which we all remember the Annan Plan period. At the time when the Annan Plan was not accepted by both communities, and resultantly the island couldn't reunite, European Union decided to introduce this regulation to somehow support the economic development of Turkish Cypriot community and prepare Turkish Cypriot community for a future reunification of island.
In a process of balancing the economies on both sides, let's say.
Exactly.
Economies is one. It's also regulatorily to be harmonized in some ways, you know, because since the accession on the southern part of the island, there has been a tremendous change.
Because to meet EU standards.
Meeting a lot of change prior to the accession, as in preparation of the accession, but also since we acceded, as we are following the acquis, changes are happening consistently. Since the acquis is not implemented on the northern part of the island, this is one way to ensure that this the acquis is implemented to the extent possible for the products that are traded, because those products, once they, in order for those products to come to the EU for trading, to come to the southern part to be traded, they have to follow all the procedurals and safety requirements that any product, any similar product within the EU follows, whether you bring it from China or from I don't know, India, whatever other places, that they have to increase their standards. The same on the whatever comes.
Would it be right to say that it's a twofold regulation, in the sense that it assists the Turkish Cypriot community to meet EU regulations so that they're able to trade across the Green Line and into the European Union on one hand, but at the same time to protect Greek Cypriot community businesses and whatnot, so that the competition, let's say, or the partnerships or whatever coming across the Green Line are not substandard and thus cheaper or whatever. Like, let's just say you have a Turkish Cypriot business in the north, okay, not meeting EU standards and thus saving money or whatever, and then they compete across the Green Line with a Greek Cypriot business who has to meet the EU standards, and thus it's more expensive. So the EU, the Green Line regulations, ensures that the Turkish Cypriot and Greek Cypriot sides adhere to
it's
the
not
basic...
Only a, it's not only a business issue. It's it's a consumer protection issue. And and it's very, very important to understand that once the product crosses... It undergoes the same processes and procedures and safety controls that any product, whether produced on, in Cyprus or imported into the EU from any other third country into Cyprus, undergoes. It, these products are not, that whatever comes from the north to the south, It is not substandard. It has to follow this.
And to dumb this down to people, I know that in Cyprus, a lot of people use these online apps to purchase things cheap, and I won't name the companies, but they're Chinese-based, and they're bringing over cheap products to Cyprus. Now, in China, they don't have the EU regulations, obviously. However, for China to send things to Cyprus and to Europe, the things that they send have to be to EU standards, correct?
So it depends.
Okay.
It depends, and this is everywhere the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a single person, a consumer, and you are ordering something from China, okay, which could be, I don't know, handkerchiefs or whatever, for your own personal use, okay, you are ordering one piece, one tablecloth. It's substandard. You will pay whatever import duties you are supposed to pay, but nobody is checking to see whether that product is substandard or not. Okay, if you are bringing child chairs to sell in the market, then those children chairs will have to undergo the complete control. If you are bringing something for personal use only, you don't intend, it's not for commerce, but could hurt others in the society for whatever, I don't know, you are bringing some, and the easiest products are seeds, let's say, to plant in your yard, but the planting the seeds in your yard could create whatever. That is controlled. So it depends. However, if products from anywhere are coming into the EU for the purpose of commerce, they are controlled. Okay. Same way.
All right. So now the EU supports the one-stop shop for green line trade, correct? Is this an ongoing thing? Is it a one-off? How does that work? Because like you said, they've been supporting green line trade for 22 years now.
Yeah, they've been supporting green line trade, as you explained, since the beginning, through different mechanisms, which probably the easiest one that came to my mind is to provision of phytosanitary checks to enable a trade of agricultural products.
Okay.
This has been around since the first day of the introduction of the green line trade, and all of the related costs are bear by the European Commission. However, throughout this period, it became obvious to both European Commission and the both communities that this mechanism is not very well known, and usually are being misrepresented. So in order to create a better understanding and knowledge about the green line trade, and also provide technical assistance to businesses, individuals who wish to engage in green line trade, European Commission introduced this project, as I said, late October 2023. So at the moment, this is the second phase of this project.
Okay.
But we expect that the need for this support and the mission of this EU one-stop shop is still there, fresh, alive. So we expect this project or similar initiatives with the same idea will be there for some quite time.
Okay. As the one-stop shop for green line trade, how do you support directly, tangibly, the traders and the business persons on the island? So, like, what would they come to you looking for? Or what would you go to them looking for?
We also go to them, but probably they approach us more than we try to introduce ourselves to them. So this is...
Is that a sign of success?
This is a sign of success. This is a sign of... I believe that they see, especially businesses in the Turkish Cypriot community, see this project as a platform where they can receive technical information and guidance on how to demonstrate their compliance for the products that they wish to place into EU market, you know, utilizing green line trade mechanism.
So
this
so
is probably the single most you know area of inquiries we receive from businesses. We also receive you know inquiries from basically Greek Cypriot businesses who wish to have new suppliers for products that they wish to present to their clients. So this has been going on successfully and with an increasing trend for some times. And some other areas that we receive, inquiries from different institutions about you know economic convergence related matters. So this project is not only a technical support project, it's a project where we produce knowledge about you know green line trade and economical issues concerning both communities.
And the, what you touched upon there, the economic convergences, is basically what the goal has been from day one, to bring the entire island in line with each other so that there isn't the economic shock the day after a reunification, which hopefully sooner than later.
Not only convergence into We talked about regulatory convergence. We talked about economic convergence. But we all know that contact between the two communities, it's also important to enable thought process convergence, which is truly important for both communities. Just for the listeners, I want to go back and just say one thing to make sure, you know, this whole process is supported by four different things. It's two out of the four, it's the regulation.
Okay.
The first regulation, that it's the 866 of 2004 for the of the European Union, it enables the trade. It opens the door. Okay, and says this regulation opens the door. The second regulation, which is 1480 of 2004, just in case your listeners might want to go back and look at it, says how you're going to go through that, how you're going to go through that door. Okay, it's the processes and procedures on how to go through, because there are specific requirements. Then for the Turkish Cypriot community, we have the EU aid program, and that is something that Chalar talked about, the phytosanitary experts who go and guide through this process, and that too has been in place since 2004 too, Chalar. I'm not sure about how long that has been in place. The EU one-stop shop is the support mechanism of all these things. So if you put it under that structure, you know, the legalities, the support from the EU to the Turkish Cypriot community to enable them to trade, and then us to support this whole process.
It's interesting, these different categories and whatnot, but just to clarify as well, because I know that other people have asked me of this in the past, it's not just goods, but it's goods and services, correct? For example, let's say you have a hotel in Ayanapa and you have bed sheets and towels. You can take it to the north to be laundered, and that service then comes back. Do you support these kind of things as well, or is it because it's a service and not a tangible product, it doesn't come under the...
It's supported. It's definitely supported, you know, as you explained. This is not only about goods; it's also about services, and regulation itself regulates how the services will be treated, basically on with regards to tax, you know, matters. So this very example you explained to listeners is one of the areas where interested parties from Turkish Cypriot and Greek Cypriot communities looking to cooperate on, actually. At the moment, it didn't happen yet, but there is an active study on this to carry out these kinds of operations as well.
Okay.
But probably the most successful examples of service cooperation across the divide is the services on IT issues. We know that especially in Greek Cypriot community, the services sector is very well developed, and a variety of actors in the market is quite high.
Okay.
Most of the time, the Turkish Cypriot IT companies act as subcontractors to many of these international companies who are carrying out operations not only in Cyprus, but also in European Union and entire region. So
that's interesting.
Green line trades in the context of services are supporting this sector actually.
Okay, so actually, that's actually a really good example. So you have, for example, an international company based in the south, and they're subcontracting in a Turkish Cypriot IT company that supports them with their tech support or whatever they do. I mean, I am not a techie. I have no idea about these things.
Me neither. Me neither.
But and that is that is frameworked within the Green Line regulation as well. Now, this is interesting because tech support and, you know, the world of data and technology is often something that you don't need to physically be present. Okay, so you could have the Turkish Cypriot IT person sitting in Kyrenia. You have the international company sitting in Limassol, and they are working together without actually even crossing, because it's digital. It's coming across. Now, is that something that's, I mean, how do you regulate that? I mean, that, because that's something that happens in the air. You know what I mean? It's not something that's physically crossing the green line and needs to be checked.
First of all, it doesn't have to be an international company. Yeah?
No,
it's very important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is an invoice that is generated, and there is someone who has to pay. Okay. The same way you cross anywhere when you do this type of service provision. But to go back, since I'm a lawyer, okay, and I always go back to the law, the 866 law provides for both, allows Cypriots from both communities, first of all, to cross the green line. It's, you know, the crossings now that we all use, for various purposes, including shopping, dining, visiting cultural sites, and conducting business. That's the base of the 866. Okay, then, like we said, the other law says how you're going to do that. So it doesn't restrict in terms of business, but it does have, it does restrict with regards to products crossing for various reasons.
That's actually one of my next questions.
And that is something that Chalar can explain way better than me.
Basically, this regulation currently prohibits trade of live animals, animal products, and any processed products with ingredients of animal origin. And in addition to these feeding stuffs or compounded feeding mixtures with animal origin are also categorically prevented from trade across.
Sorry, let me just clarify that. So you can't bring over a live chicken or a live lamb or what, you know.
No.
You can't bring over sliced ham or cooked chicken. Okay. You also can't bring animal feed that comes from an animal. So like minced chicken for, I don't know, pig, I don't know what animals eat. But can you bring grain for animals?
Yes, you can.
You can bring
grain.
Yes, okay.
Because that's plant-based.
Plant, correct. Okay. So is there a reason for this? Is this just purely a quarantine issue? Or is this some agreement that was struck early on?
During the time the Greenland regulation introduced, there wasn't any mechanism by European Union in the northern part of Cyprus to actually assess the verification of the health standards, particularly concerning animal products.
Okay.
So at the time it is decided until this mechanism is created and the standards in the northern part of Cyprus comply with the rules and regulations of the European Union, these products will be prohibited.
Is this prohibition a two-way street or is it only from north heading south?
It acts as a two-way street.
Okay.
Actually, Green Line regulation is about the crossing of goods from northern part of Cyprus to the areas where the Republic of Cyprus government has effective control, southern part of Cyprus.
Yep.
However, Turkish Cypriot community applies a mirroring requirements for the crossing of products with the direction of south to north.
Okay. In a bid to keep it fair, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Does this animal product apply only to the meat? What about the milk?
It's the same.
It's the same.
It's the same. You would, you know, our listeners would remember back in the backdrop of Crans-Montana process of reuniting the island, European Commission particularly focused on enabling a trade of halloumi. Hellim, which is the major, PDO registered product of the island of Cyprus, and a revision to the Green Line regulation is introduced by the Commission at the time, enabling the sale of halloumi and hellim. Provided the producers in the north complies with the PDO registration rules, and also the dairy sector in the entire territory of Turkish Cypriot community complies fully with the European Union's hygiene and food security standards.
Right.
So this is currently an ongoing process, and at the moment there are milk production facilities which are compliant with the these rules and regulations, and producers who received the license to use halloumi hellim PDO.
Yeah.
However, the controls, the third party controls in the northern part of Cyprus haven't been introduced yet. After this is introduced and we have positive results, probably the trade of halloum and hellim across the divide will be initiated.
Okay, all right, that's interesting.
One fundamental thing to note about this, which products are to be traded, note that the law requires that these products are being wholly produced in Cyprus mm-hmm. or having undergone substantial processing in Cyprus. It is not like you're bringing products from third countries and then you can bring them into the common market via the Green Line Trade. The Green Line Trade regulation is there to enable for products produced basically on the island mm-hmm. to cross.
So you couldn't bring, so a Greek Cypriot couldn't bring products from Egypt and the Turkish Cypriot couldn't bring things from Azerbaijan, for example?
No, that's a different thing. The Greek Cypriot, let's use from the Turkish Cypriot to the south because the basic purpose of this law, as we said, is to enable the Turkish Cypriot community to upgrade, to come up to the standards of the EU. A Turkish Cypriot trader cannot bring products from Egypt or Turkey and just bring them through to the EU through the Green Line. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, they could bring raw materials, process those materials further and bring, like they could buy sheets of glass and convert them into windows. By not only cutting them, maybe. How much is the processing? It is a matter of interpretation, but at least some processing should happen.
Enough, I mean, it's an objective thing. I mean, how much do you cut the glass to make it?
Yes, making it in smaller pieces or making, do you place them within the aluminum frame? Do you place them in windows?
Yeah.
But the objective here is not to restrict it, okay? Understood. The objective is to enable it. But it is not to allow fully finished product in another country to cross into the EU through the Green Line, okay? The Green Line, it enables just for the Greek, for the Turkish Cypriot.
So, okay, and again, just to clarify, to be clear, if you have a Turkish Cypriot who is purchasing from Turkey, let's say, Turkish rakı in the bottle, fully purchased from Turkey, brings it into the Turkish Cypriot community, that on its own cannot be then traded across the Green Line, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And for several reasons, mm-hmm. plus it's alcohol, which is has different regulations and stuff like that. But of course, you would have gone in alcohol and another thing to us here. Complicate things. Let's do windows. Let's do halim. Let's do.
All right. Yeah. No. Okay. Let's say a baklava from Gaziantep enters the north.
Basically, Finnish import products cannot be traded across Green Line.
But if you brought pastry, nuts, and syrup from Turkey, brought it to the north, combined it, worked it, baked it, made baklava with it, could it then go south?
Yes, it's possible, provided at the moment, I should say that only a certain number of processed foods of non-animal origin can cross across a Green Line.
Okay.
And baklava is not among this, you know, small list, I should say.
Okay.
But we expect the list to be expanded near soon.
You know, when I have to be honest, I don't see Turkish Cypriot products on the shelves in the south, okay? But I have seen Greek Cypriot products on the shelves in the north, and without branding, but very popular coffee brand in the south. Mm-hmm. I've seen it on the shelves in the north in the supermarkets. That would have been facilitated through the Green Line trade, I assume. I mean, that as that truck crossed to the north, it would be checked, no? I mean, and that...
Concerning that specific product, it's not crossing across the Green Line. Actually, that specific, example, initially it goes to Greece or Lebanon, then from there to northern part of Cyprus.
You're kidding me.
Yes.
That sounds like the most cost-effective way to do things.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it will explain why people cross and just shop for themselves, I guess. But
to other third countries. Some wine from the south goes to the north through Lebanon.
Oh, interesting.
Which is, it is not the most cost-effective way, which any cost you are adding to a product, it really hurts the whole economy of the island.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, look, I mean, I don't want to keep you guys here because I know you've got a lot of good work to do and it's early in the day. But we've covered a lot of ground here. And I think a lot of people who have no idea about this will now have at least the basic knowledge and they can Google the different regulations, the numbers that you said. But what is the website or contact details for somebody to reach out to you?
Our website, the project website, is www.eu-oss.com.
www.oss-oss.com. Say it one more time.
www.eu-oss.com.
Actually, the defining wording there is EU-OSS because there are a lot of OSS one-stop shops on different issues around the website. So EU.OneStopShop or EU-OSS or EU-OSS Greenline Trade will bring you to our website.
And look, anyone listening to this, just go into the comments on the poster and we have the website there for you to just click and follow. So we'll do the hard work for you and have it there ready for you. And there as well, obviously there are phone numbers and whatnot that can reach out to you. What was your final message to the people of Cyprus in your hemisphere of work?
Green Line regulation and the mechanism of commercial cooperation brought up with it. It's the for the benefit of entire Cyprus. It's even though it's initially introduced to somehow prepare Turkish Cypriot community to comply with the EU rules and regulations for a future unification. It showed its potential for increased cooperation between businesses and individuals across the divide,
individual contact,
which is probably the most valuable benefit we can get from this.
It probably one of the biggest confidence building measures that this island experiences.
Yes, and it's been there, without any interruption since 22 years. Mm-hmm. And it's the benefit of Cypriots to improve, expand, and make it easier for all of us so that new business cooperation between communities, businesses, thrive, expand, and eventually develop further our economies. Yeah. Which hopefully will generate the backdrop or the infrastructure of unified Cyprus.
Brilliant, brilliant. Mariana, more last comment?
Last comment. I just wanted to say that Green Line Trade, it's an EU-supported opportunity that could benefit the whole of the island and all of Cypriots. Whether you are a producer, a trader, an entrepreneur, the EU one-stop shop, we are here to help. We are here to help navigate the process and succeed with doing the trade. So we really encourage anyone interested to reach out to us. We are accessible, we are ready to support, and we are committed in helping GLT grow.
You're friendly, you're smart, you know the rules and regulations, and you guys have an open door policy and willing to help.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I look forward to further success stories from you, and onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. Island Talks. Open. Diverse. Free.